happy people work better. So if they have like good software, they work better. They are more productive.
What do you do if, you know, this app is not usable or aesthetic or whatever?
I delete it immediately.
Hey guys, my name is Maciej. I'm the leader of analytics experience team at CNF, and welcome to our CNF Talks podcast series, where experts and practitioners talk about their challenges, ideas, and experience from the perspective of IT enterprise vendor. This is our first episode, and as data experience is very close to our hearts, we're going to talk about enterprise UX. Next to me sits Łukasz. Łukasz is our team leader and UX expert and more operational in terms of cooperation with our clients. So welcome, Łukasz.
Hello.
So tell me, what about this enterprise UX?
If we want to understand the enterprise UX, it is worth going in a level higher and saying what's the general software and how it's the can be divided itself into some categories. So the software may be consumer or the enterprise. Consumer UX is, there are digital products we all know. So application on our smartphone, web browser, tablet. This is the stuff we all know, we use. And usually we have to solve like a simple task. So buying a cinema ticket, checking the weather, or maybe buying a cryptocurrency. But generally, usability and simplicity is the key. On the other side, we have like enterprise UX, and this applies to the product that people use in their daily work. So for example, CRM, process optimization applications, any reporting, and at the level of the entire company, such product workflows can be very complex. We have a large amount of data, specific use case. So overall, enterprise UX can be different versus consumer UX.
Okay, Łukasz, I know that you are a process guy and you have apps for like everything, right? So,
well,
I know I've seen your phone. Tell me, when you are looking for an app that will address, you know, a secret process of yours, what do you do if, you know, this app is not usable or aesthetic or whatever?
I delete it immediately.
Exactly, right? So our enterprise users don't have this comfort, right? Mm. They are imposed to using these solutions that their managers...
have to even use that like 8 or 10 or 12 hours per day.
Exactly. This is one of the challenges we've seen that unfortunately our clients and sponsors usually don't, they don't ask their users, sometimes they don't even have access to their users to ask them what they really need. This is kind of a business goal they need to address. And based on that, they design or they come up with a solution. They are presenting the solution to us and they are asking us to design it, to implement it, but they don't really care, maybe don't really know, or they don't have this awareness that they need to see the users, their users' perspective, because enterprise UX is about combining or having business goals in mind and combining this with users' goals, right? Because essentially enterprise has their goals, their objectives, but users need to somehow complete the process in order to achieve those enterprise goals, right?
Sometimes it's challenging to actually involve user needs. And of course, company come to us with the business requirements. But then... when we have this opportunity to ask the real users, more often is the case that the real needs of the users are maybe different versus the business goal.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we need to find this balance between business goals and users' goals. Of course, business goal is our objective, but we have to design something that will be usable for the users because they will be, you know, using that solution for 8 hours for something or something like that, right? So from your perspective, your operational perspective, what is the awareness of UX or perspective of UX while working with enterprise customers?
When we think about the UX perception, our clients typically think that the enterprise UX is like that. Okay, it's only internal solution. It's only for us. We don't sell it to the client. So it doesn't care about the if it is well designed or if it's usable. It's okay.
Because it's a tool.
It's a tool.
The wrench in the repair shop doesn't need to be shiny. It needs to do the trick, right?
Yeah, and it's often okay, but incorrectly designed solution, sometimes it has hidden costs. And
Not sometimes. I would say even all of the times.
Well, employees use many different software and we have to switch between tasks, log into different software, different systems, and there are also the hidden costs.
Well, yeah, their time is valuable, right? Also, I've seen some charts. This was during the COVID period that people had like back-to-back meetings all the time. And someone visualized what is the focus drop when they are switching from one meeting to another meeting and trying to work on something in between, right? So the drop is instant, right? It drops to zero. And then you would say, okay, it's increases to 100% like 5 minutes after. It's not like that. It increases very, very slowly until 100%. It takes like 1 hour again to get up to speed, right? So this is the main problem. This is exactly the same thing.
Imagine you have employees with ADHD.
So attention disorder. but they have this diverse focus over everything, right? So, but about the perception, one of the challenges we've seen also is that, when the budgets are very limited, our clients tend to cut off the UX cost, right? Because, you know, they perceive
it's easier.
It's very easy to cut it off, and it's perceived as an unnecessary cost. What we are trying to evangelize is that it's not a cost, it's an investment. So if you invest in UX in the very early stage, then it will pay off later on, because you will have lower development costs, no or very little rework, or, you know, the features will be well prioritized, the solution will be usable. It's cheaper to iterate on even sketches or low fidelity mockups instead of iterate on development, right?
So yeah, for us as a designers, it might be like a one icon, one functionality, one button, but for the developers, it takes like 1 week to develop that functionality.
Yes. One time I was talking to a client and trying to convince the client that it's indeed valuable and it's worth investing in UX while building some of the app. I remember that they were thinking of investing in UX to build some kind of a UI for a very complex app for engineers. But still, it had a complex flow. So we saw this opportunity there. And I was referring to something like that. Like, imagine you have you are building a house. And if you build a house, you're hiring an architect, and then you hire the company that will build the house, right? But then you think that, okay, the cost of the architect, like the company that builds the houses, they did it like 100 times before, right? So they know how to build a house. So you can like get rid of the architect. What for? And you do that. And then they build the house. And then you need to redo most of the walls, redo most of the things, because the company did build the house, it won't collapse, but it's not usable, right? So this architect, in fact, is the UX designer in your project. You can cut off this cost, but then you will have additional costs on the later stages of the development process, right?
I have a similar example, one of my projects. We forgot about the UX. So the case was that there was a project, there were mainly technical, advanced people, and there were like front-end developers. They were producing some POC for the clients, and they did it. Then there was a meeting with the client, and the client said, okay, functionality is okay, it works, but the visual part, I cannot to my managers with such solution, with that solution. So we need to change visual part. And then we had to start from scratch. So we had to redesign it. So then we involve our UX and the UI designers into this project. But there are hidden costs.
It's not even hidden right now because you have to redo it, right? You have to invest again and redevelop some of the parts of the software. Well, we are consumers, right? Even though in our private time we are consumers, but also in our, you know, when we are working in our jobs, we are also consumers. And we used to having the same, or we expect the same experience from the tools that we are working with as we have in our consumer apps, right? This is our perception as users. So I remember the expression I've heard, like, this was a guy from IBM or whoever, I don't remember right now. So he said something like that: when I got used to driving a sports car at home and a middle-class sedan at work. So this refers to the, I would say, quality and experience he got from legacy software or different tools he uses at work. Whereas, you know, he got used to, you know, working with or using apps like, you know, Uber or Booking.com or whatever, Airbnb, right? With the best in-class user experience, right? This is the challenge that today's enterprises face, I think. So
even, you know, in general, happy people work better. So if they have like good software, a usable software, they work better. They are more productive.
Happy wife, happy life. Right. Okay. So what are the challenges that you see in your everyday work from the UX perspective, I would say? Yeah.
So companies, there are different stages and depending on their UX maturity and according to Nielsen Norman group, we have like six stages of UX maturity. So we have the absent, limited, emergent, structured, integrated, or user driven. And first level is like UX is ignored. The sixth level is they have dedication to UX at all levels and they have deep insight.
So this is consumer user UX, right?
Have you seen company that they reach level 3, for example?
Enterprise companies? No. Yeah. No, I haven't. I do see the sixth level, I would say. These are startups that are, you know, building services and apps because UX is the king there, right? They know exactly that if they don't invest enough in UX, they won't have this success, right? People won't use their apps. So they depend on the quality of the and usability of the solution, aesthetics of the solution. They know that. Whereas enterprise UX, well, as we said, like people are imposed, you know, to use these solutions on an everyday basis, right? So I've seen level 2 maybe, level 3, I don't really remember. But I do see differences between industries. We were working for the leader of FMCG industry, the one famous for diapers, you know, because this is a very competitive market and the product is of low margin, right? So they can't really squeeze more from their revenue growth or profitability. So they need to look for improvements, optimizations, innovations inside of their companies, right? So they really look into processes. And one of the things aware of, this was kind of an aha moment for them. I was working for them like, I don't know, a couple of years. And I was evangelizing about the quality of UX, the importance of usability of their solutions for a few years. And just after like, I don't know, 3 maybe, there was one moment when they said, okay, we are performing the system usability scale grading for some of their apps.
Yeah, it's one of the tools we could use at the very beginning, for example, because it comes from 80s, as I remember.
It is a very simple tool.
It's one of the quantitative tool to verify whether the system is well designed. And this simple questionnaire, We just rating the system based on answers from the users.
Very simple 10 questions, right? And they are standardized. You have like 10 questions on a scale from 1 to 10, where 1 is I disagree totally, or 10 I totally agree. And then based on that, you have the results from A to F, where A is the best and mm-hmm. F is the worst, right? So the results were shocking to them mm-hmm. because it occurred that like nothing was above D. So they said, okay, we do have a problem. So this is the aha moment, and this is the awareness FMCG industry has. Well,
they started to be aware. It's really good that they even start to
aware. Well, this is the first step, to be aware that they might have a problem.
How we can use some strategics if we are even not aware?
We can't really. You don't know what you don't know, right? So you need to know that okay, it might happen that we did something wrong, and maybe we need to just ask some questions, and it's a very simple task.
Mm-hmm.
So but this is about the maturity, right? I remember some numbers that in terms of data experience and adoption, right? So just below 50%, I've seen that the companies report that they have the BI overall BI adoption just under 50%. But that doesn't mean that people are using reports on everyday basis or understand the data.
Mm-hmm.
This means that large companies, and every large company has that or has multiple different BI technologies, right, implemented. So I guess this is the number, right?
Well, one study from last year says that the organization used only 3% of the data. So imagine you have like 50% of BI adoption, but still you are using only 3% of the data.
Companies collect large chunks of data from whatever systems they have right now, right? But we don't have this cognitive ability to digest all of this data. So this is even more important to design solutions that are targeted, well-tailored, targeted to different user groups, right?
You know what employees said about the data?
Yeah.
The second study says that 78% of the employees feel unhappy or overwhelmed when working with the data.
And why is that?
Why is that? Well, we've seen some overwhelming dashboards with lots of visualizations, many KPIs.
I've seen that, and it's very interesting because we've been attending Data Analytics Summit, Gartner's Data Analytics Summit in Orlando. This is the biggest event for people related to data, and vendors and manufacturers also. And of course, the main topic of this year's event was generative AI. So like 80% of...
Because it's a trend right now.
Right. So everybody needs that and everybody wants that. But so 80% of keynotes and presentations were about Gen AI. But there were presentations, and I was really happy to hear that because we were talking about that for years now. So one of the trends for this year and upcoming years is building solutions and designing data products for people with lesser analytical skills, with lesser data literacy skills, right? This is something we've been evangelizing for years now. Okay, listen, we need to design solutions for business users who don't have data analysis in their DNA. Because, you know, historically speaking, analysts were analyzing data. So mm-hmm. they have this skill set and they can do it. They were like, you know, mathematicians or whoever. Then in the 90s, we had this era of data visualization, like new dashboards, appeared. But still, business people were benefiting from analysis provided by data analysts, right? But now, and this is another trend of Gartner's, the data democratization. So the data, so people in the companies should have free access to data, and they should be able to digest it however they want. But in order to do that, they need to have these data products designed to their needs. The data granularity needs to be designed for their respective needs and objectives, right? This is something we need to, you know, take care of. What are the other challenges you see in your everyday work?
Well, first, maybe right information density. Because enterprise apps, they're rich in information. So as a result, we have the screen packed with lots of functionalities. Another challenge we have is that our clients came to us with a list of requirements, but many times we need to like a step back and try to find the real user need, not only based on the requirements from the clients, because there are like a business goals, not the not the real user needs. So we need to combine the business goal and the users, which are employees, the user needs together.
So this is the why behind the what from Simon Sinek, right? So
and it's one of the challenge of for the designers, because we need to somehow balance simplicity and functionality in the enterprise UX. So we are like a chef in the restaurants that trying to create a complex dish with enough spicy, but, you know, not too much.
Not too much. So this is the secret sauce we need to add, right? I remember one example. Our client, FMCG industry client, came to us. They had a very complex system.
Yeah, I remember that project.
Yeah.
They have like four different systems, and they wanted to combine into one ecosystem because, you know, the people should not to be logging in different systems.
Yeah, jumping from one system to another.
Exactly. So this project seemed to be very huge. I mean, the timeline and the scope was supposed to be huge, but we involved like three UX designers, and we started with the research phase. And our study, our research phase showed that, well, three out of four of these systems, they're not needed. And I remember that even our UX researchers, girls, they came to
I remember they came to us and said, well, I've seen fear in her eyes, in their eyes. And they said, listen, we conducted this research and we don't know what to do. And I was like, okay, what happened, right? And they were like, listen, they don't need like 70 or 80% of these things. Like they need only one widget or one whatever screen of this app. And so what should we do? And I was like, great. Mm-hmm. This is exactly why they hired us. And this is the value, right? Mm-hmm. We just saved like 80% of the budget. Like this app would cost like $100,000. And then we just saved like $80,000 just by researching prior to any kind of development. Because without the UX help here, they would just take this process and translate it to a new solution. They would pay $100,000 and then they would have something that it's only usable in, you know, 20%.
It's not easy, but sometimes we just need to be honest with the clients that, come on, we have to stop this project. Doesn't make sense to develop this solution because
they're not easy. Yeah, but we need to challenge them. We need to challenge them because usually clients come with ready solutions. This is also the difference between working with business guys and working with IT guys. So we have experience working with both. And I see that when we are working with business, we are working with human problems, right? So the people, okay, they need to analyze some kind of data. They need to decide upon something, right? They don't talk about technology, right? They have this problem. They need to solve it. So UX is technology agnostic. This is a business competency, I would say, right? Whereas when IT guys come, they say they already have these requirements and they say, listen, we need a dashboard. We need those KPIs. We need this and that and that. We have very little to no space to ask, okay, why do you need it? Is it really needed? We don't have that comfort, right?
Yeah. Do we care about the user needs, real user needs, employees needs?
No, this is the UX perception. Well, this is work, right? Like, suck it up. You need to use these tools. This is your work.
I remember that one of developers have to use one of the software because it was like for time tracking. So we need to use on daily basis. And he invented some plugin to help him just to track these hours. So imagine that, of course, he was a developer, he could do that, but people with non skill set,
they wouldn't manage, right? But users are smart. They will always find a workaround. Either, and this is about also the adoption. Like many times I've seen a situation where companies build some tools, because they don't care about adoption, right? Adoption is important when it's a problem. So you have no adoption, then it's a problem. You don't think about it prior to any kind of development. And I remember one time they came to us and said, listen, we build a tool. We know that every market needs it because it's our business objective. We will standardize the approach. So we build a tool and we introduced the tool on each of the market. And guess what? Well, the people don't use it. And I was like, okay, did you ask why? Because it occurred that those guys on local markets, they had their own tools. They did the trick, right? They had like Excel spreadsheets. They had like their own, I don't know, reports. These were addressing their user objective, right? Their user goals. Whereas our client was only focused on the business goal without any user goal in mind. So this is something that you need to combine.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to introduce a new tool, you need to give those people the value of using, the benefit of using the new tool. So you need to have these user goals in mind.
These are the foundations, I would say, even because first, okay, raise awareness of the UX. Then we can find a strategy. And then when we combine the user needs and the business goal, we could find a proper solution.
What are the solutions or strategies of, you know, improving the situation from your perspective?
So first, like we mentioned before, SUS, another UX rule would be 5E rule. So think about you 5 dimension of the usability. So effective, efficient, easy to learn, engaging, and error tolerant. So it applies to the context of the enterprise UX. So effective, how accurately tasks are completed. Efficient, how long it takes to the user to complete the task. Easy to learn, how low is the initial learning curve? Do they need any onboarding, any tutorials? Engaging, so how satisfying is the software? And we can measure that by SUS, for example, or even just by asking employees what they say about that. Error tolerant, so how well does it prevent errors? So we can count the number of times users see errors.
Mm.
But these are generic strategies. Of course, if they have like a different UX maturity level at the company, they can use enterprise design system, for example. So they can have like a library of the components.
Well, we need to say one thing, right? We need to say that, okay, usually enterprises have their branding, corporate identity, things like that. But this is only about using the logo, using colors and things like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what we are talking about is the kind of a data design standards where you build design systems solely for data products, right? How to visualize data.
Yeah, we have like a pattern, tables, even icons we would use. And designers can use it for a project. So to make the design process consistent and fast, there is no longer need to start projects from scratch.
Yeah, so the development is just faster. You have this consistency across different technologies. This is very important to sustain
and
this quality.
And especially when you are producing like 1,000 dashboards per week.
Well, this is one of the cases that when you introduce self-service, and this is something very interesting, like self-service also is the thing, right? So give the power to the people and let them use the data and produce different data products, right? Okay. Fine, but if you don't control the process, then you end up with thousands of reports based on a weekly basis. So this is something you really need to set up properly. It's not like give the data to the people and then just look at how they work with it. No, you need to have a governance set up for users to really have benefit from using this data, right?
I think it started after COVID even, because when we started remote work, we couldn't see each other.
And we have to digitize a lot of processes, right? That were, in our offices, talking with people. We had to introduce many tools that would help us cooperate, I remember this development bubble. We are a vendor, right? So we saw that, 2 years of prosperity. We were developing a lot of different apps for our clients for 2 years straight. Okay, but I would be a devil's advocate here. You are talking about these five E's, like all of these processes. Where is the value? Because, we are talking to business guys and they are talking numbers, right? Mm-hmm. We don't really have those numbers anywhere because... usually we have only reports, about consumer-facing solutions.
Yeah, it's not easy actually to find the numbers, real numbers. But for us, we did some kind of a research to show the real value and real numbers. I remember about the eye tracking report we did.
Yeah, because, this was also for us, right? This is the it's a very difficult task to convince our clients to invest in UX because they ask, okay, what is the value of that? What is the benefit? And well, we promise that, okay, you will have higher adoption, you will have users will be more satisfied, you have lower costs, okay? And they say, okay, how much? And we can't really say it's like, 20%, 50%, we don't know that. So we conducted this eye tracking research. We have compared
different dashboards.
Yeah.
So we had like a normal, typical dashboard developed by the BI developer.
Yeah.
And we want to measure how people read the data, what is the cognitive load. So we compared to the redesigned version of the dashboard. We found some good results, actually.
Very interesting insights. And guys, you can download this report from our website. The link is below in the comments. And this would be also, we'll be covering the report and results from this research. Also, another research we did in upcoming episodes. But, showing the value, this is something that... we need to do. We need to have convincing our clients that this is in fact the investment and not the cost, right? So what would be, from your perspective, as you can see now, is it better? Is it, the situation of enterprise UX is improving?
Overall is better, I would say, in FMCG. It's pretty okay. But for the life science, it's still just beginning. What is important that designers are involved in every stage of the project. So they're until the end. Of course, they're not involved. Sometimes they're missing the part after the product is launched, the software is launched, and we are not collecting feedback after 2 or 3 months.
It's not that we don't want to. It's again a next step in the awareness of our clients that they need to see the value of collecting this feedback after the implementation process, right?
But I see we have more even the research projects.
Pure research. UX, pure research projects, right? Yes.
Which has been completely ignored until now.
Mm-hmm. If it comes to Gen BI, this is also the trend that we've seen on Gartner Data Analytics Summit, right? Gen BI is the shift on how people are analyzing the data. So right now we have this traditional reports, dashboards, where people are just looking at visuals, analyzing data the I would say, traditional way. Whereas the next step would be that they will be just, it would be a conversational analysis. Like they will be asking questions and waiting for the answer about some kind of data result, right?
Still, we need foundations.
So we need to know how to visualize the data, how to teach the AI agent to build these ad hoc reports in a way that they will be usable. We need to also teach users how to ask questions. So this is also the UX, but about the conversation between the user and the AI BI agent, right? Hopefully we'll be also covering this topic in our later episodes, right? So guys, this is it for today. We encourage you to stay in touch with us.
Hit the subscribe button.
Hit that bell button. Contact us via LinkedIn. Leave some comments. Because we are very eager to see whether you are on the customer side or and facing those challenges, or maybe you are on the vendor side looking at how this enterprise UX situation looks like now. So this is it for today. Thanks very much. Thanks for being here, Łukasz, and see you soon.
Thank you.